Hello, everyone, and welcome to Episode 5 of COE Mobility, ProjectCOE.com's exclusive mobile-related things and whatever of that nature podcast series by yours truly, Justin Joseph. And I do thank you for joining me today. And as I usually try to do, I will jump right into the topics of interest that I have prepared so that I avoid as much unnecessary babble as possible. So the first thing that I have for you guys is that if you are an Apple device user, you know, obviously iPod Touch, iPhone, iPad, things of that sort, and if you're also subsequently a Final Fantasy fan, you could be looking forward to this coming Friday, exactly, August 31st, Square Enix's release of Final Fantasy Dimensions, which I guess is going to be some kind of updated, you know, modernized, you know, bringing kind of up-to-date version of an episodic series that was previously exclusive to Japanese phones in 2010. It's being called Final Fantasy Dimensions, and it's updating what is called Final Fantasy Legends over there in Japan. And it's slated to have 13 episodes put together that will amount to a 35 to 40 hour adventure. Now, that's all fine and dandy until you know the price. Now, obviously, when it comes to things, you know, mobile gaming related, you know, the market, people are into very low price points. They don't typically, you know, care to go, you know, consumers being, they don't care to go higher than the $4.99 kind of price point. There are some exceptions here and there, but they are far and few between. So it'll be kind of interesting to see that when this game hits, especially for iOS device users, will you be interested in spending essentially $30 to play this game? Now, of course, you know, those of you who are Final Fantasy fanatics, this is probably not a big deal to you because you're more than likely used to paying that kind of money, if not more, for most of your games nowadays anyway. But nonetheless, for those of us, and especially, you know, myself, I mean, like, I don't use an Apple device, so I can't speak from personal experience, but at least, you know, when it comes to paying for mobile games, we do not want to pay more than $5 per game if we do not have to, and there's really no reason for it. So that's a pretty big risk that Square Enix is taking, and I'm quite curious to see how long it either lasts for them to have that game at that price point, or if they eventually just upset people who use Apple devices so much that they inevitably lower the price, you know, to something maybe more reasonable between a $5 or $15 price point. So that will be interesting to see. Then further, Capcom is also slated to be sending a couple of their pretty popular franchises, those two being Resident Evil and Monster Hunter. They are intending to release both Monster Hunter Massive Hunting and Resident Evil Mercenaries, which I guess are both ports to both iOS and Android devices later this year. They don't have a specific time frame in mind, at least at this point, but those of you who are in Japan or have access to the Japanese, you know, Google Play Store and Apple Store, I mean, I'm not sure about the region lock business about that sort of stuff, so just forgive me there. But nonetheless, you can look forward to that. But it's still just unfortunate that it's Japan exclusive right now. There's no announcement of it coming to the West or even to Europe or anywhere else for that matter. And, you know, I would imagine that they're going to be working on, you know, doing that because obviously they're not going to, you know, I say obvious, but it seems pretty clear that Capcom wouldn't want to restrict, you know, their sales opportunities, and especially to the audiences that, you know, the Western markets bring. So I would assume that these two games are going to come to us as well later this year, but if you are in Japan, You can look forward to both of those games sometime before 2012 rings to a close. This next little bit that I thought was kind of funny, apparently Facebook, and I actually saw recently on Ahmed's, you know, he's one of our other COE employees, that he was super impressed and appreciative of the new fresh Facebook app that is available for iOS users. I guess the company has really overhauled the application completely, you know, I guess more or less ported it from one kind of code to another, you know, sort of the, I guess it's HTML5 if I'm not mistaken. And it's, I guess, just way better now. Smoother, you know, faster, and more capable of doing what people that use Facebook all the time would wish that it could do. And it's just funny that I suppose that part of that, or that this, you know, the update that they released to make this possible came in part because the company actually makes the developers of this application for both iOS and Android, they actually make them use the deficient elements of their applications themselves personally on a daily basis so that they can understand from a personal experience standpoint just how bad it really is. So that's just something that I came across that I thought was funny that I would share with you guys. So I guess we don't necessarily have to assume that these people just don't care about, you know, those that are on, I guess, you know, first generation 4G phones on whatever network that you're on, that they just don't care that this app is performing well on your device. Now, for me, I did try to use the Facebook app on my previous HTC Thunderbolt, and it definitely didn't work all that great. I mean, it wasn't as bad as the reviews on the Google Play Store would seem to suggest at times, but it definitely wasn't the most encouraging experience to have you keep using, at least that application. And I always ended up using the mobile version of the website on my phone anyway, whenever I was using it, so it didn't really matter that much to me. But nonetheless, on my HTC Resound, it works not necessarily flawlessly, but it's way, way better. So I don't really have to worry about that. So I'm kind of interested if they're going to bring that update to us anytime soon so that we can enjoy the same thing. But nonetheless, we don't know anything along those lines, at least right now, but I will update you accordingly if we would so end up finding out something like that in the future. All right, next, Square Enix, more Square Enix news. Actually, as I am speaking right now, if any of you who are listening is a fan of the portable title that they released to the Nintendo DS a handful of years ago called The World Ends With You, well, Square Enix, as of right now, has released their, I guess, I don't know what you want to call it, an update, a port, a rehash, a remake, whatever. It's called The World Ends With You Solo Remix, and that is also now available for iOS device users. I don't know if an Android copy or version is intended, but nonetheless, that is available for those of you who enjoy those kooky little JRPGs. And I mean, I remember Tim McKenzie reviewed the game for us on the site for the DS a long time ago, and he was extremely impressed and happy with it. And supposedly, like, I guess according to IGN, it's a very good game still, and, you know, it's really no surprise because it's basically just a direct port. I'm not sure if there's anything added to it, but I'm not going to get into that right now because I want to make this a boom, boom, boom sort of topic podcast. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and check it out. Now, unfortunately, again, just like the Final Fantasy Dimensions bit, this game isn't really that much different when it comes to price point. So if you're not interested in spending $18 on the phone version or $20 on the tablet version, well, then I guess you're going to be out of luck in terms of playing this game on your specific iOS device. So I don't really understand. Even these, you know, these big software developers, especially Square Enix, why are they trying to buck the trend and make people spend way more money than they have to, and especially for a game that they released, you know, what was it? It's got to be at least 5 years ago, if not longer. Expect, you know, $20 for essentially a port of a game. It just doesn't really make any sense to me. So it'll be interesting also on that front to see potential sales numbers for this specific game. And finally, before I touch on some personal items of potential interest, it is very interesting that right now, and I do mean right now, on Amazon's website, you cannot access the Kindle Touch or the Kindle Touch 3G. They're actually out of stock as we speak. Now, that necessarily may not sound strange to you because, obviously, Amazon's Kindle product line is extremely popular. A lot of people really enjoy those e-readers, and especially even the Fire that they have, their first tablet. You know, they're extremely popular, so it's really not any real surprise. It's not out of the question that these things would be out of stock. But for both of them to simultaneously have that happen to them on Amazon's website, well, if you really think about it, that's actually telling us something. And what I mean by that is, I'm sorry, my neighbor is being kind of strangely loud right now. Kind of broke my concentration there. Either way, what is that suggesting to us? Well, it is suggesting that Amazon is getting ready to either make a very big announcement within the next, you know, days, weeks, whatever time frame that they have planned, or they could very well, you know, be preparing to just release, you know, without us even knowing what they have prepared for us on the website. Again, I mean, I can speculate, you know, for minutes on end here, but nonetheless, it is a pretty obvious evidence that Amazon is preparing to either relaunch these products, to replace them, whatever you want to say, from their standpoint. You know, and that's a very cool thing because obviously devices, you know, especially electronic ones, they get outdated very quickly, and people do enjoy these refreshes or you know, the newest versions of them that these companies put out. You know, whether it is Apple or, as this in this case, Amazon or Asus, Toshiba, Acer, whatever the case might be, people appreciate these new updates, and obviously, as they come to the market on an annual basis, which is pretty much how it works, then people can kind of make a determination based on what their interests are in terms of replacing the device that they currently have. You know, if they want to do it every 3 to 5 years or, you know, 7 years, whatever the case might be. You know, if this is the case for you, if you've had a Touch or a Touch 3G or even a Fire for the past a couple few years, well, this could be this is more or less trying to get your attention that you should be paying attention to Amazon over the next handful of days, weeks, whatever the time frame is. I don't really know, but yeah, I mean, you guys obviously know what I'm talking about, so obviously, we should expect something from them soon, and I will update you accordingly as to what exactly is going to come from them. I mean, obviously, Google just recently put out their Nexus 7, which a lot of people I know have purchased, and it's very popular tablet directly from Google and Asus as they partnered with them to develop that device. So it's just nice to see that there's competition, that it isn't all just about Apple, but Android is just as flourishing as it probably could be, so that's always encouraging to know. So after that unnecessarily long-winded explanation about Amazon there, I will go ahead and transition into my personal topic. Not a whole lot from my standpoint. I mean, I do wish, again, that I could be writing reviews left and right like I used to, but simply not a possibility for me anymore, but nonetheless, I am actually working on the game that I think that I mentioned last time that I recorded episode 4. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I did. But either way, Dead Trigger from Madfinger, who was also responsible for Shadowgun, and you are definitely made aware of that game in Dead Trigger, so obviously shameless advertising, you know, about your own product, which is fine, of course. But nonetheless, I am still currently playing that game. I'm working slowly but surely through the campaign, In addition to all the optional side missions, I haven't tried the arena yet, so I'll get to that in hopefully the near future. And I mean, if anything, it's just kind of neat to see how the game has evolved since it was initially released. I was actually one of the ones that purchased it at the $6.99 price point, and I was happily rewarded for doing that because, I guess, I mean, I don't know what the situation was with the CEO of Madfinger, you know, claiming that the game was being pirated. I think I did actually talk about that last time I recorded, and apparently that was some kind of ruse for them to get more exposure for the game, which, you know, in essence is dishonest. I mean, if you're going to say that your game has been pirated and that's why you're making it free, you know, if that's true, obviously fine to do that. But if it's not and you're just saying that to get more people to invest in your game, you know, purchasing it, I mean, well, that's kind of shady, and I really wish that they wouldn't use those tactics, but at the same time, I'm not surprised that they would choose to do that. If the game indeed was suffering, in sales, who knows? Either way, that's not all that important. The game has become increasingly more fun. I mean, it is definitely not perfect. I mean, kind of like how when I reviewed Nova 3 from Gameloft, this game is definitely not without its bugs, at least on my personal device, which is, again, the Asus Transformer Pad, which is the model TF300. It's not without bugs, but it is still very much fun. I enjoy all the different gun options, the items, just being able to customize your character and use whatever weapons you want and whatever mission that you tackle, and you're not really forced into anything. You can pretty much just go about the action in however way you so choose, which is always great. It's, you know, you can never fail to give your consumers, the people who are actually going to play your game, options like that, so I will have no complaints along those lines. But nonetheless, there are some bugs I will report on in my eventual review. But yet at the same time, again, I am thankful that because I purchased the game at that $6.99 original price point, that I'm actually, I was able to enjoy the special package that Madfinger had put together for those people. So I did indeed get the alien gun. I got the free gold and money and the casino chips. So it's just nice to be recognized along those lines, and to also see the features that they continue to try to improve upon, in addition to add. So with those casino chips, they added the slot machine that you can play with to try to redeem, you know, free gold or free money and things along those lines. And the arena as well, it's kind of like, I guess, I haven't played it myself, so I don't exactly know what it entails, but I'm assuming it's something along the lines of, you know, of what Halo and Gears of War offer on their online services, you know, just trying to survive for a certain period of time against waves of enemies, in this case, obviously, with Dead Trigger being zombies. So I will check that out sometime. But overall, the game is fun. I mean, it's kind of funny to see, you know, being the editor that I am, I notice pretty easily grammar and spelling and mechanics issues, and they are fairly common in this game, and not that that obviously affects the experience adversely, but it always does remind you that people who are imperfect are the ones developing these games. But nonetheless, that is what I am playing right now, and I do hope to potentially get that reviewed on COE's site by the end of September. And I do realize that's obviously a long time frame, and it was released several weeks ago, but again, I have to do what I can do, and that's really all that I can offer. And after that, who knows what I'll be working on, potentially The Amazing Spider-Man, potentially trying to finish off Zenonia on my Thunderbolt, which I still have it on, or whatever else might potentially interest me when I'm done with Dead Trigger. So that's all I got for you guys today, and I do thank you for tuning in. And as usual, please always tune into our website, projectcue.com, for all the latest from our staff. And we are on Twitter, project_CUE, also Facebook and YouTube, projectcue, all together one word. And I'm pretty sure that is it. And of course, the other guys, and, you know, Steve and Jared, do their podcast with their Canadian Gamer series, so by all means, I'll always look out for that. So Thanks, guys, for listening, and I will see you guys later.